It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Is it really QT Marshall's birthday today? Happy birthday, QT. Not one of my favorites. You know, everybody says, oh, well, a lot of people say, oh, DT, you like everything. Not him. But he works hard backstage. You got to give him a little credit for that. Definitely intricate part behind the scenes. On TV, though, a little less to be desired. Just my opinion. Good evening, everybody. I am back. The Sit Down with Don Tony is live for July 16th, 2023. I hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. I will be here for the next hour or so, basically talking about whatever you feel like talking about. That's what we do on Sunday nights. Sunday nights, I show up with no notes. Nothing planned. Basically, everybody who is live, especially those in the live chat, you get to choose what we talk about tonight. And as always, super chats are not required. They are appreciated. They definitely help with the bills because this stuff ain't free. And they will always get a little VIP treatment. Now, just a little reminder, I'm not posting it on social media because I don't want any assholes to think that I'm doing it just to get attention. We'll probably announce it on social media right before we go live next week. But, you know, as I said on yesterday's Don Tony show, next weekend shows, any super chats that come in will go towards the GoFundMe for Shotzi Blackheart's sister. That is something that we talked about yesterday on the show. I talked about it on social media Friday. That's why Shotzi shaved the head. Cancer hits a little bit close to home for my neck of the woods. And we're Shotzi fans. And her sister is extremely young. No one should get cancer, period. But when you get that kind of cancer, which is liver cancer, and you're, what, early 20s, she looks like, maybe mid-20s? Man, that must be rough. But very cool to see that her GoFundMe has gone up about 50% in 2 days. So big shout out. All right. So as we always do, when they come in, when Super Chats come in before the show starts live, I get into them first. Some people do that because they want to get their question in before everyone else. For me, it helps sometimes because it allows me to do a little research if something comes in early. A big shout out to Rojo Bear, celebrating 29 months as a member of the family, aka channel member. Thank you, Rojo Bear. Thank you, everybody. Whether you're a channel member, subscriber, if you're a lurker, subscribe. It's free. Definitely want to get those numbers up there. So, all right, let's kick it off. We got a couple of super shout outs that came in before we went live. And by the way, after I get into the early super chats, if you want to ask a question for me to answer or discuss in the chat room, just write in capital letters the word question before it so I could spot it quicker. If you have a comment that you want me to relay to the rest of the wrestling community tuning in, live, download, just write comment before it. And this way I could spot it a little bit quicker. So Sal Amendola is in the house. Thank you for the 10 spot, my friend. Tony, did you see Don Tony, that is. Tony, did you see the video of Don Callis being attacked and how Brian Alvarez lied and said a fan did it? Yeah, I did see the footage. You know, for everybody out there that doesn't know what happened, I'll give you the quick synopsis of it. Kenny Omega in Tijuana, Mexico. I guess it was a stadium show. It looked like a baseball field, a soccer field, whatever. And after the event was over, Takeshka attacked Kenny Omega on the field. Don Callis was there as well. Don Callis reading the riot act to Kenny Omega. And a long story short, Don Callis shoved a photographer. And another photographer took offense to that. And what happened was a security guard that was in on the, you know, what was going down, that security guard went to pull Don Callis aside. When this photographer saw Don Callis push another photographer, he interpreted that it was real. And he tried to take down Don Callis. My honest opinion, if you're going to start pushing elements of the media or anybody that is there that is not a pro wrestler, then you have to advise everybody there. You have to advise everybody there. Now, I will say this. Early on, people thought it was a fan. And Brian Alvarez probably early on got that report. What angers me is that these motherfuckers don't have any fingers. What, did they hang out with Messiah? You need the hits and the exposure and the views that bad that you don't delete a fucking tweet? Or at least post a comment right under it and say, hey, everybody, just to clarify, it was not a fan. It was a fellow photographer who did that after seeing Don Callis push another photographer. But they don't do that. And that's my problem with it. Because every Tom, Dick, and Harry and every low-life piece of shit B-list, C-list, and D-list wrestling news site, oh, well, if Brian Alvarez said it's a fan, then we could all say it's a fan. So you go and you look on regular Yahoo News, AOL, and all these others, it says Don Callis attacked by a fan. And that's a fucking lie. That's a fucking lie. That's not the story. But, you know, it's just like tonight I saw some news outlets saying AEW, you think I'm kidding? Go on Shitskeeda. AEW signs 36-year-old star, Ian Riccaboni. Ian Riccaboni's awesome. When you hear 34-year-old star, you think a pro wrestler. You see how these people operate? Anything to get you to click on their shit. That's how desperate these people are. And yes, yes, I lose tons of hits and views because of it. I don't like to tease like that. But just to clarify, it was not a fan that attacked Don Callis. But they don't want to clear it up, so everybody thinks it was a fan. So Sal, you know, that's my thoughts on it. I think Don Callis shouldn't have pushed the other photographer. He didn't do anything. I mean, he just shoved them aside. But everybody should have been made aware. Everybody should have been made aware as far as what was going on. One photographer took offense to it that he pushed another photographer. That's what happened. So, thank you, Sal. Mikey. Mikey with the $5 super chat. Thank you, Mikey. DT, did your dad ever use that architect that was arrested for the Gilgo Beach murders this week? No, as far as that I'm aware of, believe me, that was one of the first phone calls I did. I called my dad. The truth be told, one of the contractors that worked on my dad's house earlier this year, that contractor used to use, what was his name, Rex Huerman? Is that his name? He used to use them. For those that don't know, without getting into a long story about it, about 10 years ago, not too far from my house, there's a stretch on the Meadowbrook Parkway, Jones Beach, that goes between Jones Beach and I can't remember the other park, but there's a beach called Gilgo Beach, and it's creepy over there. There's no lighting. You would have thought that they probably did add some additional lighting over the years, but still, there's stretches over there that are still pretty creepy. And about 10 years ago, a little more than that, they found a bunch of bodies. And they found at least four prostitutes, or as people like to say these days, sex workers, didn't deserve to be murdered. They also found, I believe, an Asian guy, a baby, a mother. So this was a dumping ground for killers. And believe me when I tell you, I have no information, but I could tell you that deep buried underneath some areas over there, they're probably going to, down the line, find mob-related hits from the 80s and the 90s. There's a dumping ground. And for apparently 13 years, they were trying to find who they called the Gilgo Beach serial killer. And it ended up being an architect that lives in Massapequa Park, Long Island. He's 59 years old right now, and when he committed the murders, he was in his 40s. And they also think that one of them, or more than one, died in like the mid to late 90s. So this guy killed a bunch of women. They got DNA evidence. They found hairs on the women. He had no criminal record. But that familiar DNA that we've always talked about in the past, that shit, that's why it's a deterrent. You know, that's why you see on the news so many more shootings than anything else, you know, because, you know, you may not have a criminal record and the cops may not have your fingerprints or your DNA, but Ancestry.com might have your uncle, might have your brother, your sister, your aunt, your mother, your father, you know, so they got DNA off a pizza box. He got on their radar a little over a year ago, and they were trying to catch his DNA, and he ate pizza, dumped a pizza box somewhere. They took the box out. They found crust. I mean, I'm fat too, but that fat motherfucker left crust with its DNA on it. So they examined the crust, and it matches the DNA that was found on the women. And then they find burner phones. I think this guy, at the end of the day, probably killed much more than four. So, but no, my father never did business with him. He was primarily Manhattan and Brooklyn, you know, but there are some people, believe it or not, and I don't even think this is actually on the news yet, but I'll give you a little inside story. I don't remember what year it was. I do know I was working for my dad at the time, so it had to be sometime between 1986 and 1989. But there used to be a bowling alley in my neighborhood called Cross Bay Lanes. And we used to all go bowling there, and they had leagues. And at that time, you had like certain precincts battling other precincts. And I have family members that were on the force, and used to bowl against each other Cross Bay Lanes. And back in the late 80s, at some point, there was buzz that somebody on the bowling team got killed, hit by a drunk driver. And it was a cop. And the cop that got killed apparently was the brother of this motherfucker. So that's how it's circulating in the neighborhood Friday. Yeah, that guy's brother hit that cop back in the late 80s. So I'm sure that's going to come out soon. So it's crazy shit, man. It's crazy shit. You know, but no, as far as I know, my father never used him. So, all right. Thank you for that again. We got another Gilgo Beach super chat from William Erickson. Thank you for the five spot, William. Gilgo Beach, we're from that neck of the woods, buddy. What are my thoughts? Well, I just talked about that. Robert Moses State Park. That's it. There's a stretch between Jones Beach and Robert Moses State Park. That's Gilgo Beach. Without getting too deep into it, I had a family member commit suicide in the 90s, and they found him on Gilgo Beach. Very, very serene there, very quiet, no light, you know, at that time, no lighting. And it's a really creepy place. I mean, like I said, the last time that I drove that stretch, this is a true story. And this has to do with COVID. You'll get a kick out of this. The last time that I ever drove that stretch, my wife had to get a COVID test done. I don't remember exactly why she had to get it done. We couldn't find any area in the neighborhood here that could do her COVID test. So we drove to Jones Beach in a drive-thru, and she sat in the car, and I wanted to record it. She's like, please don't record me. And they stuck the Q-tip up her nose, and they did a COVID test. It came back negative. Hey, honey. Honey. Tanya. She ain't going to listen. Even if she hears me right now, she's like, I'm not coming in there. I wanted to tell you, yeah, we actually drove to Jones Beach. We drove that stretch, but it was in daytime. So, you know, all right. But, yeah, it's creepy, man. It's creepy. What's creepy about it is there's a YouTube video where he was interviewed by somebody, and you just look at him, and he just looks like a fat, greasy, smelly, you know, dirtbag. Like if Brian Shepherd was an architect, that's pretty much what he would look like. You look at his hair is all disheveled, and this guy was a pretty damn successful architect. Why would you do that? And every time he did it, his wife was out of town. Why would you do that? Why would you ruin and lose everything? For what? You know, if you have that weird fascination of wanting to kill someone or be in power or something like that, go see a psychiatrist or get a mannequin and go have fun, you know, or beat on yourself. I could never understand that. Listen, I'm not one to commit crimes. If somebody did something to my family, if somebody did something to my dog when he was alive, if somebody did something to my wife, did something to the bird, yeah, I would be tempted to want to retaliate. But to turn around and just to murder people, sex workers or no sex workers, especially somebody successful like that. He had his architect business in the early 90s. So he was doing pretty well. I don't get it. I don't get it. Thank you, William. Cappy Caveman with a 5 spot. Thank you, Cappy. Did I notice David Benoit at AEW Collision? Listen, man. Listen, I'm going to just say it. I tell it like it is. I don't mean any harsh offense to it. Props to everyone who didn't get offended yesterday of me comparing Adrian Adonis' wife to Caitlyn Jenner. If you didn't see yesterday's show, trust me, it is worth a look. It's wild how much they look. They look like twin sisters. You remember that show Sister, Sister? Like if they came out with like a 75-year-old white woman version of it, you would put Adrian Adonis' wife and Caitlyn Jenner in the same house, you'd think they're twin sisters. And I'm not saying that to be like anti. No, it's just they look alike. They look alike. Easy as that. Why am I saying this? I got to take my glasses off for this. I don't want to break them. I feel awful for David Benoit to go through life dealing with the fact of what Chris Benoit did. The fact that Nancy is no longer here on this earth, their kid. I know he wants to become a successful pro wrestler, and you have to admire that, and you have to appreciate that. And for all intents and purposes, he is truly a good guy. So I'm not knocking him in any way, shape, or form. You just got to understand he looks a lot like Chris Benoit. So you see him, you think of Chris Benoit, you think of the murders. And not only that, seems like every time somebody takes a picture of David Benoit, his eyes are like spooky eyes. And I know he's not like that. But you look at the photos that were taken yesterday. Oh, David Benoit. Take a picture of him when he's blinking. Take a picture of him when he's looking down, maybe having a sip of his drink. They take a picture of him and he's got the eyes, you know, the wild eyes. And I know he's not crazy, and I know he's not evil, and I know he's a wonderful guy, but I look at that, and I think of his dad, and I see those eyes, and I'm like, I can't. Just being honest. They were in Canada. He was there. You know, listen, would I be bothered if he was wrestling on TV? No. I would get past it. Listen, if I could still watch The Naked Gun at Nordberg, you know, I should be able to see someone who did not do anything wrong. David Benoit did not do anything wrong whatsoever. But again, he looks so much like Chris Benoit. And when you see those eyes, it's like, gives me chills, man. You know, I think about the podcast we did the day that we found out that he murdered his family. How wild is that podcast? It's still online. Four and a half hours long. We started the show paying tribute to Chris Benoit. By the end of the show, we were spitting all over him. That's just eerie, creepy. But yeah, I did see him at Collision. Everybody that we expected to win won, with the exception of Juice Robinson and Jay White. You know, props that they didn't do the draw, because if they would have had a time limit draw yesterday, I would have been kind of angry, because that's like the pussy way out. They've done that before. They did it with MJF not too long ago and Adam Cole. They've done it with Bryan Danielson. You know, the time limit draw, okay, that's fine. But, you know, then it starts feeling like, oh, you're just doing a time limit draw because creatively you can't fucking figure out who should win and who should lose and who gets damaged from it. But I will say this. Congrats to Willow Nightingale. But honestly, until I see her wearing AEW gold, you know, it feels similar to what they were doing with FTR, the FTR, when they had the AAA titles, the IWGP, the Ring of Honor. And during that whole time, you know, AEW couldn't put their own belt on them. You know, it just seems like, let's celebrate Willow as long as she's holding everything but our gold. That's how I look at it. Listen, she's getting TV time. She's getting pushed. So that is awesome. I'm a Willow Nightingale fan. That's why I say what I say. It's not anything against Willow Nightingale. But these tournaments, these cups, Owen Hart is to be celebrated and beloved. Absolutely. But then what? Then what? Where do you go from here? You know, I don't know. We'll see. We shall see. All right. Who sent this in? Oh, God, Moist Ham. Moist Ham says, thank you for the five spot. If a hot chick was next to you on a plane and you had a big fart to release and couldn't make it to the bathroom early, what would I do? Believe it or not, I have a good answer for that. I have an answer for everything. My wife farts in front of me. She thinks it's funny. Sometimes she doesn't let me know, and in the room smells like the sewer. And then all of a sudden, because she sleeps sideways, I'll look over and I'll just say, what the fuck? And I'll just see the bed going like this. She's laughing, but she's trying to hold it in. Me, I can't fart in front of anybody. I can't fart in front of her. I can't fart in front of others. But right now, because I'm on keto, there's a lot of fake shit, like fake pancake syrup and fake marshmallows and fake this and fake that. There's tons of fiber in it. And fiber will make you get gas. But I have figured out, like, there's something, if anybody's on keto, there's something called Choc Zero marshmallows. They are awesome. I eat them by the bag. But you end up eating like 80 grams of fiber. I have learned that it gives you crazy gas, but it don't stink. So I have learned how to fart without making noise. You let it get to the, it's like walking on the beach and you get right by the water And before you dive in, you just, when you right about to touch the water, you just pull back a little bit. And instead of, you know, making a noise, you basically end up doing something like this. And then what I'll do is I'll cough during it. So if I have to do one, and honestly, I'm not going to lie, sometimes on this show, if you ever see me go like this, you know. But you'll never hear it. Because what I'll do is I'll just, you know, when you get right to the end, it's like edging for farts. It's edging, but farting. Sometimes I'll cough. I'll go like this. That's it. So, yeah. But I don't go on planes much. I've been on planes twice since 1996. Went on one a couple of years ago for my parents, their family business, and my honeymoon. So I don't go on planes much. But, yeah, I have learned to let it loose without making noise. So, but again, little warning sign. If you ever see me like, hey, what did you think of Raw tonight? I thought it was a pretty good show. If you ever see me go like that, you know that something's going on. Rams fan is in the house. Did I see the 2 out of 3 falls match with FTR and Jay and Juice? I have not watched the match in its entirety yet. Yesterday, Saturday, you know, is usually on Patrol Live and other things going on. I do have a DVR, and I am going to watch it before Wednesday. Everybody is saying match of the year. For me, I'll say this. I've seen clips already. You know, there's a couple of synchronized moves where I think it was Cash Wheeler. Oh, Dax Harwood did like a suplex off the middle rope, and then Cash Wheeler dove onto Juice Robinson, and then when he moved away, Jay White dove onto Cash, and it looked a little bit too scripted. So it had its moments, but most matches do. But from what I saw, I liked what I saw. I absolutely liked what I saw. And what I really liked about it, besides the fact that they had a legit finish, was the fact that it opened up Collision. Because I said a little something on Twitter yesterday, and I got a couple of DMs like, DT, what change was that? Well, if you don't tune into the show, sorry. You know, I'm not going to start explaining it. But, you know, as I've been saying on the shows, what we have learned about Collision, the first 4 weeks of ratings, is that the people who tune in pretty much stay tuned in for the entire show. You don't see that giant peaks and valleys. You know, it's almost like Otis, but the ratings version of it. You don't see those peaks and valleys. So for me, the secret to get Collision's numbers a little bit better is get them through the door. And I use that supermarket analogy. Oh, we're giving away free samples of fish. You know, or free samples of something that people, you know, if they were going to go pick up milk or something, you know what, I'll go today, hey, I'll try this and that. Get them in the door. Just get them in the door. If you could get them in the door early on, and no big bang lead-in, that's bullshit. You know why? Because Big Bang's lead-in consists of a lot of people who don't watch wrestling. And they walk back in their bedroom, and like, honey, you forgot to change the channel. If they have a Nielsen box, they were a part of their AEW rating for the first quarter. You want to get as many wrestling fans through the door at the very beginning. Once you get them through the door, you try to keep them there. So, hey, here's something. Oh, this is awesome. Well, while you're here, maybe you want to have this or that or this. And they may change the channel for a little bit. But what you've given them is so good that they want to change it back. And to me, that is a very easy way of doing it. And they're not announcing every fucking match now. You know, I'm not happy that, you know, the House of Black minus one is having a tag match. The Trios titles, what the fuck is going on with them? You know, let's take a step back. Let's be honest. Didima, what's going on with him after 5 weeks? Andrade, two awesome match. What's going on with him after 5 weeks? This is dynamite. It's dynamite. But, again, from what I've saw so far with FTR versus Jay White and Juice Robinson, yeah, it definitely lived up to the hype. And I do like the finish when FTR extended their hands and was spit on. Good shit. Definitely good shit. What to make an emoji, Austin? What emoji? I'll make it, yeah. What emoji is that? While he types the answer up, Tristan is asking me, what's my favorite faction right now? Judgment Day. Definitely enjoying Judgment Day. Finn Balor was always one of my favorites, and he's taking it to another level. Seeing Damian Priest getting the attention that he deserves right now. Dominic Mysterio, you know, I always have like, I mean, this is my fault because I'm just lazy and haven't cleaned off my desk, but I have like tons of like autographed cards. Look, I still got AJ Lee's autographed rookie card. This thing is worth like $500 on eBay. I'm not kidding. But, you know, staring right in front of me is Dominic Mysterio's rookie card autographed. I just wish they would do a little bit more with Rhea Ripley. Right now, that's my favorite faction. I was asked last week if they're a little bit overexposed. No. No. They're not on SmackDown. You know, showing up on NXT is a bonus. Showing up on NXT is a bonus. You know, you're getting an extra dessert besides your ice cream. Like, how anybody would complain about that blows me away. And, you know, they're on all cylinders right now. You capitalize with that. Plus, if you add up the amount of TV time they have in a three-hour show, it's not as much as you think. Okay, Austin, I'm still trying to look. What emoji were you talking? Oh, the Redeemer emoji? How would I do that? You mean like do like a sound effect? Yeah, but unless we just do a Miro emoji. We could do a Miro emoji. Sure, we can. I don't mind. Yeah, listen, Natty and Rhea tied for the highest quarter rating for that night. Nobody talked about it. Well, maybe they just didn't have access to the quarter hour ratings, but, you know, and, you know, it's just like Impact Wrestling. Impact Wrestling has done a much better job in the ratings, and almost nobody reports their ratings anymore. The funny thing is that if New Japan got half their rating that Impact does, everybody would be fucking sticking it to their walls, you know, which is sad to see. Rocky Red, what are my thoughts on SAG-AFTRA, the Writers Guild strike? I mentioned it briefly yesterday. Would it affect pro wrestling? No, it's not going to affect pro wrestling. Pro wrestling's not going to benefit. The only way pro wrestling is going to benefit is if The Rock is on the Grayson Waller effect on SummerSlam. Why would pro wrestling? You know, let me say this. I know it sounds awesome in a tweet, and I know thousands, and I've seen a lot of people write this, and I've seen thousands of likes added to it, and I sit back and I laugh. What makes anybody think that non-wrestling fans on Monday nights from 8 p.m. to 11 are going to be like, fuck, everything's on strike. Put on Raw. Like, pro wrestling is not going to benefit. We're not going to see any surge unless it's good wrestling shit. It's not, it just, one has really nothing to do with the other. I'm just being honest with you, man. You know, people are like, oh, the pro wrestling's going to benefit. How? Tell me how. Tell me how. You notice how they don't tell you how? Huh? Oh, and people are going to watch wrestling because there's repeats. Oh, really? Why don't you look and see what's on TV from 8 to 11? What are the biggest ratings? I don't know. Sports. A sports on strike? when sports were on strike, did wrestling benefit from it? Honey, put on the baseball game. They're on strike right now. All right, put on Monday Night Rollins. No benefit. As far as the writers deserve more than what they've got. The actors and actresses going on strike is just to make them look great. You know, they're not working right now anyway. So going on, that's like me. That's like, listen, that's like my company I work for is going to close for the next 30 days, you know, for some reason. And I say, oh, in support of so-and-so, I'm not going to work for the next 30 days. You know, you weren't working anyway. You're going on strike. How's about all these actors and actresses, you know, put up a nice little kitty and give a little gift to their writers. Let's see a couple of checks being given. Let's see them buy someone a car, pay their taxes, their insurance, their phone bill, their cable bill. Let's see them put a little GoFundMe up. Let's see them do that. You don't see them doing that at all. But they do it privately. How do you know? That's how I look. The writers deserve it. The actors and actresses, I have no sympathy for whatsoever. Zero. And to me, the only way wrestling benefits is The Rock is not doing nothing. Maybe he does the Grayson Waller effect at SummerSlam. If anybody disagrees with me, speak up. I say it after every show. The comment section is free. You don't have to pay admission to post a comment. Tell me where I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just never wrong, and that's why nobody challenges me. Maybe. We got a super shout out just came in. Big shout out to Roger Rubio. Thank you for the 10 spot. Roger. Over. Roger. Roger. Over. DT Dave Meltzer has me blocked. I've literally never interacted with him. I've hardly ever tweeted and never tweeted about wrestling. Am I blocked by anyone randomly like that? One person that I'm aware of. And when I say this person, I guarantee you probably half of you out there will be like, oh shit, me too, and I don't know why. And someone in the chat room is going to guess it in a second. It's somebody in wrestling. Ramsen's already got it. I don't even need to finish the sentence. Shawn Michaels, I don't get it. I just think he just goes on his wall and he sees recommendations and our tweets pop up. I don't want to see that. And instead of just selecting not interested in his tweet, block, 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 block. I mean, you know, maybe I got blocked because, you know, when I used to talk about Shawn Michaels, I would be like this, you know, like, I used to be a talent I used to do in school. Watch my eyes. Look in my eyes what you see. Maybe you saw one of those videos. I don't know. Shawn Michaels. I mean, I've praised him for the most part. I was just blocked randomly. Roger, the reason why Meltzer may have banned you is because you may have liked something that was said pretty, like, rotten his way, and he just, anybody that liked it or retweeted it, he just blocked. I'm not blocked by Dave. I had to block a few people over the weekend about JD stuff. Most people that criticize me, I respect that. I could take criticism. When someone says to me, like, you know, why am I sucking the penis of JD? Well, you know what? Yeah, I don't need you on my wall. You know, if you want to say to me, DT, why are you defending this guy? This guy doubled down and this and that, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I get that. I totally understand and respect someone's view. But when someone says, you know, like, dumb shit, nah, not interested. Too old for that. But Roger, that's probably why he did what he did. That does happen. And, you know, years ago, I probably have done that as well. Somebody writes something nasty about me, and then I look and see everybody that liked it, and I block them all. And then somebody will say, DT, why did you block me? I'm a big supporter of your show. And I don't even answer them back. Meanwhile, in the back of my head, I'm like, yeah, you just liked this podcasting group, let's say it like that, that just said this awful stuff about me, and you liked it and retweeted it. So I block you. But, you know, there's weird people that do that sometimes. Like, they'll like a lot of negative shit about you, but then they'll say they're a big supporter. It's a little strange. But, yeah, that's probably why and how it happened, Roger. You know, I don't know, you know, like, how you could rectify that situation. You know, I mean, if there was a way you could contact him, maybe you drop him an email and just say, listen, I don't know why you blocked me. I support your stuff and everything. You know, I like to see your feed and what you say, and could you unblock me? You know, I think he would seriously consider it. You know, I know you're not a bad guy, so there'd be no reason. I mean, unless he just doesn't look at his emails. So it's the best answer I could give you. But for me, Shawn Michaels. Right away. I will say this. Early on, when I used to really speak out about politics, I got banned by a bunch of people. I don't talk about politics anymore. Not a Trump supporter. I just don't like politics at all. I don't like how they fucked with us with COVID on both sides of the aisle. I don't follow politics much at all anymore. So, but early on, I did get a bunch of people blocking me, and I was like, fuck you, person blocked me for. All right. Tristan Sloan Paisan, what is my favorite rap song? Oh, God, I can't think of, like, an all-time favorite. You know, me, I was always 80s. You know, I go from Run DMC to De La Soul. I go from Tribe Called Quest to Houdini. You know, I don't have any individual favorite, even though I've told this story before. Back in 1986, I went to Great Adventure in New Jersey with my school. And at that time, they had a karaoke station where you paid like $15 and you can sing or rap onto a cassette tape. And I did it. And the only rap song that was available that I liked was Houdini, You Got a Big Mouth. And I swear to God, I don't have the tape anymore. I wish I did. Just imagine a fat white teenager, you know, from Queens, New York, Italian, going and doing Houdini. And halfway through it, I started doing a human beatbox, which has nothing to do with Houdini. But, you know, in the middle, I'm like, I used to, if you wet your hands, you could actually do it a little bit better. But, but they were never my favorites. That was just the only, and I don't like, you know, to the hip, the hop, the hip, hip hop, or what cringe. Every time I go to a party, throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. And if you like me and wear white underwear, everybody say, oh God, that's the white. Listen, I'm not white, black or anything, but that is the whitest of the white when you see people doing that at parties. It's always like somebody that's like nowhere near like a partier or a hip-hop guy. Oh, God, I cringe. I cringe more about that than the Macarena. And trust me, I grew up with this, you know, I fucking hated that. Especially when you saw the group. And then you realize, you know, at least they would have looked like cool guys and everything. If you look like them, they look worse than Los Lobos. If you've never seen the group that performed Macarena, they look like, and I don't mean this horribly, they look like a bunch of guys that you would see in like Corona, Queens, sitting in a whorehouse waiting to get laid from a hooker. They look like people that would be sitting around, you know, playing music, drinking a Corona, waiting to get laid from a prostitute. That's what they look like to me. The blue song I can tolerate. It's like White Castle. You just have it in moderation and you never get sick of it. Like, I've never allowed myself with White Castle to be sitting there and be like, oh, oh, oh. I'll never see, like, I did that with Scotch. I can't taste Scotch. I've told this story. When I was in high school, I drank almost a half a bottle of Johnny Walker Red, and I passed out for a day and a half. I can't even smell it anymore. I get sick from it. So I've with that song Blue, you know, it's that's the one. Da 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 dee, da da da. They did it for WWE. Didn't they do that for WrestleMania once? But still, in moderation, I could deal with it. Benjamin says, how hilarious was it that Ian Riccoboni said that it was apropos that the feed cut out during a Tony Storm match? That is quick thinking, man. Storm? Yeah, a storm knocked out the feed. That was good, man. Listen, you want people that are quick-witted like that. I love that. Ian Riccoboni is good. I honestly can't say anything bad about Ian Riccoboni. If I could say anything, I'm a little surprised it took this long. And still, you know, he's like a substitute teacher right now for AEW's programming. He's got the Ring of Honor stuff, but he's like the substitute teacher right now. I want Ian Riccoboni on Dynamite every week. You know, I mean, yeah, he did Dark, he did Elevation, but, you know, Riccoboni is good, man. He's very, very quick with the humor. That's good. That is really good. Maggie says that she worked on Johnny Walker's, worked in Johnny Walker's and did the same one time. I don't want to get into the whole long story, but I'll tell everybody really quick, the real, real, real fast version. My dad, when we lived in Middle Village, my dad had a gigantic bar in his basement. And my dad don't drink. I mean, my dad will have wine, but my dad don't drink hard liquor. Maybe a little Absolute, but he don't drink hard. The more I think about it, my dad does drink a lot of shit. Well, back in the day, he would only drink wine. And my father, you know, going back to when he used to work in supermarkets in like the early 70s, people would give him bottles of Johnny Walker for Christmas, for his birthday, for holidays. And when I got into my teens, you know, like, I didn't drink, but I would go in the basement and I would see like 70 bottles of liquor never opened. And I'm like, why does he have all this liquor here? So my dad started doing this. My father said, you know, for Christmas, why don't you give each one of your teachers a bottle of Scotch? Just a nice little gesture for the holidays. It was free, obviously. We didn't have to buy it. It was sitting in the basement. So every Christmas in my sophomore year and junior year of high school, I would give all my teachers a bottle of Scotch. And senior year, I brought like 5 bottles of Scotch to St. Francis Prep for my senior year for Christmas time. And I got into a fight with my art teacher. My art teacher, I used to be really good friends with. He used to hang out with all of us in Cunningham Park. He used to smoke weed with everybody. I didn't smoke weed. I never liked it. It would give me a headache. And I get weird munchies when I smoke weed. But I got into a fight with him. And I looked in my bag and I said, I ain't giving this asshole a bottle of Scotch. So we got on the 88 Special, which is a bus. It's an express bus that takes you from St. Francis Prep in Fresh Meadows, Queens, all the way to the Queens Center Mall in Regal Park, Queens. Oh, no, it's Queens. Forest Hills, Regal Park, Corona, somewhere, Jackson Heights. So anyway, long story short, halfway on the bus, I look in my bag and I saw a bottle of Johnny Walker Red. And I was like, hey, everybody, look, I forgot. I didn't give this to, you know, Mr. Antonori, that asshole. So everybody's like, open that shit. So I open it. I'm passing it around. And we're all drinking, you know, and me like a dummy. You know, there's a couple of girls hanging out with us and everything. And I took a sip and somebody's like, oh, pussy, take a big sip. And I fucking guzzled it. And by the time we got to Queen Center Mall, we went into the mall. I couldn't go home. I was whacked out of my head. I remember going up the escalators the wrong way. We would go in the elevators and open the doors halfway through. You know, we were doing all this crazy shit. Finally, I had to go home. And I went home, pissed drunk, and I went right to my bedroom. And my mother's like, "You were drinking." And I'm like, "Ma, I just got to go to sleep." I went to sleep. It was a Thursday. Okay? Understand this. It was a Thursday. I got home probably like around 5 or 6 o'clock at night. It was a Thursday. I wake up the next day. I look at the clock. It's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And I'm like, holy shit, I'm late for school. And I'm getting dressed. And my mother's like, "Yeah, you see, you did." And they purposely didn't wake me up because of what I did. So I'm racing. I'm rushing and everything. And I leave and I run to the bus stop. And it must have been like 8:30 in the morning. And the bus doesn't show. And I'm like, the fuck? Next thing I know, I see my father. And my father's like, "Get in the car." So I thought he was going to drive me to Queen Center Mall because that's where you would take the 88 to go back to St. Francis Prep. I get in the car. He drives home. I'm like, "Dad, I got to go to school." It was Saturday morning. I slept from Thursday afternoon, Thursday evening, until Saturday morning. They didn't wake me up. I mean, I'm sure I got up to take a leak and get water. I didn't realize I slept an entire day. Since then, I have never had a ounce of scotch. Some of my friends try to be funny. "Hey, DT, you want a little, try this amaretto." And I go to taste it, and I spit it out. It's Johnny Walker. Because they all know the story. "Hey, DT, you want a little Long Island iced tea? Is it really sweet?" "Yeah." And I start drinking, and it's just straight up Johnny Walker Black. And I spit it out. Now they got like Johnny Walker Blue. I can't go anywhere near it. All right, let's get back to wrestling. Before we get back to wrestling, Kevin Walkie, Dwayne, know what ever happened to Mario from the Barrio? I don't know. I just, it's strange how some names disappear. Who was the one that used to, Ken terminated by DQ? I didn't ban him, either Chaos or Austin banned him because he was really becoming a problem in the chat room. And he used to be really active here. But and believe me, if you ask those two guys, they probably have banned maybe five people in the last 2-3 years. You got to really fuck up to get banned. I mean, all those advertisements for free sex and hot women and nudes, those get blocked. But he unfortunately had to go. But Mario from the Barrio, no idea what happened to him. No idea. All right. Wombology says that Ken drifts from chat to chat. I'm sure we would welcome him back as long as he didn't go after people in the chat. You know, when I first started here on YouTube a couple of years ago, you know, there was one thing that was strange. People like, "Oh, you don't want to go to YouTube. The chat room will be so toxic. There'll be all this hate, this and that. You don't want to deal with that." And like, I really got nervous. I'm like, what the fuck is going on with YouTube? And we started, and I was like, ain't nothing wrong here. You get one or two people once in a while, but the vibe is great. The vibe here is better than a lot of other chats that we used to have, with all due respect. The Mixler chat, at times, that was awful. That was awful, what used to go on over there. But, we're not inviting Ken back anytime soon. I'm just saying, like, Mike Gonzalez, who's the poster between Terry Funk and Eddie Guerrero on my wall? It's Brian Pillman, the loose cannon. I got to bring a little flashlight in here. That's the loose cannon. Do I have a flashlight? I don't think I do. Oh, you know what? Here. I don't want to fall. Yeah. I don't know if you can see it. That really ain't helping. Yeah, it's the loose cannon, Brian Pillman. That was when he showed up in ECW. I always wanted a pair of those shades. I went on eBay, never ever found them. Brian Pillman had some awesome sunglasses back in the day. He had these flip ones, too. I met him once. In Philly, at that time. And all I'll say, I think I've told this before, they were going out to eat at some steakhouse. And I think they were filming a segment that he was going to do. And you couldn't tell. Like, he was acting bizarre. And people were like, nah, that's him just, you know, just in character, like really pushing it. You couldn't tell if he was in character or not. But he gave you a vibe like you don't want to fuck with him. Like, it was something about, but looking back on it, he was just mastering what he was doing, loose cannon. But yeah, that's Brian Pillman, loose cannon. Psycho's asking, who would I feud Rhea with right now? Boy, that is such a hard decision to say. I don't like Raquel, and I don't like Liv because they have the tag titles. And by doing that, you're pretty much, you just unified the NXT women's tag titles. So the women's tag titles, that's why I want Sonya and Chelsea Green to win on Raw. Listen, I'm a big fan of Liv Morgan. When I get photos like this autographed by her, you know, once in a while I send a request in to WWE NXT when we were doing a lot of photo giveaways. I still have a stack like this. And I would say, you know, if you could send some photos over, that would be great. And you get an envelope in the mail and you open it up and there's like one Seth Rollins, there's a Cody Rhodes, you get like a Rhea Ripley, maybe three Charlotte Flairs. And then all of a sudden you look and there's like nine Liv Morgans. Or when Mandy Rose was in NXT, I would get like, when I got, I don't know if you all remember, when I did a contest once, we were giving away three non-signed Mandy Rose photos. And the person that won decided not to take them. So I sent the three photos to NXT with a little note. And I said, I don't sell these. I said, if Mandy could sign these for me, I would greatly appreciate it. I want to give them away on my show. I not only got them back signed, but I got like 10 extra photos from her as well. You know who also gave me photos? Shotzi. Shotzi, Gigi Dolan. And you know what's interesting about it? The more I think about it, it's mostly women. It's mostly women. I mean, almost all, I would say at least 85% of the photos that I have gotten back for giveaways have been women. So believe me, there's a lot of reasons why I like a lot of these women. But as far as the tag titles go, though, you know, they're not doing nothing with it. At least with Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville, it's, you know, there's a bunch of teams you could see them feud with. And honestly, I could see them going to NXT. I could see, and Raquel Rodriguez is so intimidating. I'd rather see Raquel Rodriguez not have the tag title and feud with Rhea Ripley. So if you ask me right now, I would go with Raquel Rodriguez. But I would prefer Raquel Rodriguez not to be tag team champion right now. So, Jay Paulin with a 5 spot. Thank you for the super chat, Jay. He's got a David Benoit question, which I will share with everybody right now. Thank you, Jay. Hey, DT, thoughts on David Benoit wanting to wrestle? How would I present him if I was a promoter? I would have to call him David Benoit. He looks too much like Chris Benoit. Do you put a mask on him? No, because from what I've seen him do in the ring, like, you can't put a mask on him. You know, like, and you can't do anything creepy with him either. You know, look, Brian Pillman died tragically, but it wasn't criminal. You know, he didn't kill anybody. Chris Benoit murdered his wife and his son. David Benoit has nothing to do with that. But anytime you think of David, you think of Chris. You know how that goes away? The more David Benoit is on television. The more he's on television, the more that goes away. I'll give you a great example. Tamina Snuka. I mean, let's not forget. You know, sure, it took decades to finally get the truth, but Jimmy Snuka, as much as I loved him, he was my all-time favorite before Terry Funk passed my TV. Once Terry Funk passed my TV, that was it. Funk, number one. Tamina Snuka is the daughter of a killer. That's awful to say, and I feel bad for her. She beloved her father. So, you know, there's a really... So I think the more you see David Benoit, the more that goes away. Because you don't come across a Benoit on your TV much ever. Think about it. You don't come across a Benoit. Remember Sim Snuka? Anybody remember Deuce and Domino? You know, so at that time, there were lingering rumors of what he did was murder, but it was never proven. So I think the more that David Benoit is on television, the less and less people will think of Chris Benoit. Because I could tell you firsthand, many, many times I see Tamina, I don't think of Jimmy Snuka. I just see Tamina. Tamina was with Mercedes yesterday when Trinity won the Impact Knockouts Championship. When I saw the picture of Trinity with Tamina and Mercedes, I didn't think of Jimmy Snuka. I didn't look at her, oh, there's Tamina, the daughter of the murderer. You know, so I think the more we see David Benoit on the screen, the less we'll think about what happened. Never forget, especially what happened to Nancy and their son. But I think that's the only way it gets let go. But to change his name, you know, you want to give him a nickname, that's fine. You know, but if to change his name or put a mask on him or try to give him a totally different, outrageous gimmick, I don't think that would be a good idea. I don't think it would be a good idea. So, you know why? Because then the Benoit name will always overshadow him. It'll always overshadow him. So, just my opinion. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Jay. All right, we are at 63 minutes. Let's go a little bit longer, and then we'll call it. Tristan is asking, who is the greatest women's wrestler of all time, Chyna or Trish Stratus? If you're forcing me to choose one of the two, I say Trish Stratus. And I'll say it because of this. I'll use Rhea Ripley. Shawn Michaels recently said that Rhea Ripley, when everything is said and done, is going to do hell of a lot more and better than what Chyna ever did. That is not a knock on Chyna. What people need to understand is that women's wrestling was not pushed at that time the way it is pushed now. The caliber of women wrestlers at that time was nowhere near the level it was now. You had some awesome, talented wrestlers back then, from Molly Holly to Jacqueline to Lita and others. And there are people out there that will tell you that Molly Holly and Jacqueline put rings around Lita and Trish Stratus in the ring. Okay. But my point is, you can't compare Chyna, who was in an era where women's wrestling was nowhere near the level it is now, with the amount of women that are on that elite or near elite level. That's why I don't like comparing Chyna to Rhea Ripley. That's why I think it's unfair to compare Chyna to Rhea Ripley. See, when Michael says Rhea is already past Chyna, when you really think about how, if you're talking about titles, the women's championship at that time was not pushed like it is now. You know, I mean, it was just different time, a different era. I it's so hard for me to compare it. You know, if you want to look at baseball, all right, if you want to look at baseball, like, you see how much of a big deal the seventh and the eighth inning guy is now on a team? I mean, that's what, over the last 15 years, that the pitcher who is the setup guy, like the setup guy people go pay elite dollars for. Back in the 70s, you'd have a closer work three innings. In the 80s, you would have a closer by committee. There was no real seventh or eighth inning guy in a lot of areas. Believe me, I remember when I was a Met fan and a Yankee fan, and anybody that goes back to the Yankees in the 70s and the early 80s, think of Goose Gossage. Who was the seventh and eighth inning man? Can you think of anybody? No, Goose Gossage would probably work the seventh, the eighth, and the ninth. So you can't compare somebody who was a setup guy in the 70s and the 80s and compare it to people now. I just think it's unfair to compare China when at that time women's wrestling was not handled the way it is now. Not even close. Why do you think the knockouts division in the mid-2000s, why do you think the knockouts division got as much attention as it did? Because it showed women's wrestling on a whole different scale. And honestly, you know, Trish was awesome and Lita was awesome and others were awesome. But Impact Wrestling was pushing women, you know, overall a little bit farther on a consistent basis than anyone else. I don't think it's fair to compare China. Bobby Means is in the house. DT, what are the chances of Charlotte Flair versus Britt Baker happening? The only chance of it happening is if Britt leaves AEW, and that would not be a bad idea. Listen, there's going to come a point where there's only so much you could do. Look at Jade Cargill, for example. I see a lot of her tweets where she's teasing that, you know, she may stay out of wrestling going forward. I always got the impression with Jade Cargill is that she wants to be a performer part-time and also be a mom, you know, part to full-time as well. Like, I think that she's more committed to be at home and the rigors of a WWE schedule. You know, unless you're enticed with a big money contract or maybe some extra days off, not everybody I shouldn't say not everybody can handle that schedule. That's true, but not everybody wants that schedule. Britt Baker, it's going to get to a point where Britt Baker, there's not going to be much else you could do. And if WWE comes calling and WWE offers her a good amount of money, why would she say no? You know, unless she doesn't want that type of schedule. Listen, make no mistake about it. There are a lot of people in AEW that love working for AEW because the schedule and the grind is a lot less than WWE. The responsibility is a lot less than WWE. That's not lazy people. And that's not frail or fragile people. Those are people that, you know, want to work but don't want to work 80 hours a week. You know what I mean? Like, if they get paid a little bit less, work a little bit less, but you have a little bit more home time, spending with family, yeah, it looks pretty damn good. So Britt Baker, you know, it's not only not having good feuds anymore, but it's also schedule and money. There's a lot of pressure. There is a lot of pressure, especially you have an entire WWE women's roster. It doesn't have anything personal against Britt Baker. You see parties and you see WWE women hanging out with Britt Baker. There's not a big time animosity, but there is definitely that competition there. And a lot of WWE women, she comes to the company, you know, it's not like, oh, welcome to the family. And even if they did do that, once it's time to go out there, she's got to perform on their level. And if she doesn't, trust me, Charlotte Flair, feud, friends or no friends, Charlotte Flair will eat her up in a promo. Eat her up in a promo. So, yeah, it could happen. When, I have no idea. Psycho, have a good night. He's calling it a little bit early. I don't blame you. It's getting late, early over here. I know that doesn't sound like it makes sense. That's kind of like something Yogi Berra used to say. Hey, everybody, it's getting late a little early here. All right, we'll wrap this up in about 10 minutes. I think that's fair enough. Maggie says Jade always struck her as someone wanting the fame and not wanting to wrestle. Yeah, but, you know, that's also AEW's fault because AEW put her in that position. You know, with all due respect, she dropped the title and she disappears. You know, it's not like WrestleMania where, oh, you know what, she's been working a really vigorous schedule and she's taking a month or two off to recharge her batteries and spend some time with her family and then come back. And no, she, you know, you look at her record, you know, it wasn't the, you know, how many times did Jade Cargill, when they advertised her, would just say in action? Like, that gives you an idea of the caliber of her. Listen, she worked hard. She's definitely improved. I don't know how far she wants to go with it. Oh, she'll be back. I definitely expected her to be back. I'm a little and I almost feel like the reason why she's not back yet is because they don't know where to put her in. They don't want her going after Chris Statlander just yet, try to get her title back. They don't want her feuding with Saraya or Toni Storm or Jamie Hayter. Like, they just eliminate her because you bring her back. And a lot of people, including me, were noticing it. Like, you know, they're doing this whole Outcast storyline. Why isn't Jade Cargill defending AEW in any of this? Why is she never part of this storyline? I think people started to take notice. Do I see Brian Pillman Jr. having success in WWE? Sure. Sure. But he's got to go to NXT first. You know, and no, he's not going to be like his dad and show up on WWE television and cut a promo like his father did at CyberSlam 1996, the internet convention. I don't think anybody wants that. Brian Pillman Jr., I could see him working NXT. I could see him challenging Wes Lee for the North American Championship. I could see him working with some of those guys and let him get acclimated. And who knows, maybe we could end up seeing a little Bron Breakker, Brian Pillman Jr., going at it. I think that would be a hell of a lot of fun. But I also believe that Brian Pillman Jr. is going to have to turn it up an extra notch. And I think he will. I think he will. I think we look back on it. You remember about a year ago, people were like, wow, they're not giving like Brian Pillman or Griff Garrison any time on TV at all. And they were playing off like, no, you know, we're taking our time, you know, we're learning, we're growing, this is an ad. And, you know, people were making excuses online, and I brought that up yesterday. Too many people make excuses for AEW instead of confronting things head on, and it never developed. It never developed. That's why when we look back at Powerhouse Hobbs's career in AEW, are we going to say it never developed? Wardlow, the potential and how far he should have gone in AEW, will that ever develop? There are a lot of... That's why Tuesday, Kev and I are doing what we're doing. Kev and I are doing a show Tuesday. And just like we did last Tuesday, if you haven't checked out last Tuesday's episode, you're missing 3 hours of awesome conversation. We looked at a lot of wrestlers in WWE and NXT and looked at their status from a year ago to now, and see who has gone up in stock, who's gone down, who's skyrocketed, who's plummeted. We didn't do Roman Reigns, and we didn't do Cody Rhodes, because those are obvious. But others is a much more interesting conversation. And there's quite a few names. When you go to AEW and you look back a year ago, there's some surprising names that you, if you're being genuine about AEW, their stock has gone down. Their stock has gone down. So that'll be Tuesday. And Kevin and I will be going about an hour with that. Then after that, I'll be doing my usual weekly show. All right. I honestly don't think Dave Meltzer hates WWE. I really don't. I think Dave Meltzer dislikes Vince McMahon very much. Dave Meltzer obviously has favoritism for Japanese wrestling in AEW. Hell, the Young Bucks have a move called the Meltzer Driver. You know, when you got one of the greatest tag teams of this generation, and they name a move after you, I don't give a shit who they are. You know, that is a big deal. You know, so he's got his favorites. But again, Dave Meltzer, I'm not making excuses for him. He has every right to like what he likes. If he wants to give something 6 stars and he wants to give someone else 3 stars, if you think that's bullshit, then you don't pay attention. Why do you have to put investment in Dave Meltzer's star system? If it's ridiculous, why do you care? Why? Just ignore it. When he says he rates something 5 stars, that's nice, Dave. Okay, you really like the match. Good for you. That you have a right to your opinion. You know, it's like a movie critic. There's a lot of movies that I've liked over the years that a movie critic says it sucks. And, like, I don't turn around and say I'm not going to watch the movie because blah, 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 said it sucked. No, I make my own decision. Yeah, I do know that Dave Meltzer never gave Kurt Angle a 5-star match. I get it. That should tell you right then and there that his star system is heavily flawed. That's, at the end of the day, that's his opinion. And if you don't want his opinion, then you shouldn't care about his. Don't be offended by it. Like, if he rates something like 5 stars and we thought the match sucked, like, okay, that's his opinion. When we move on. Yeah, I mean, nobody forces anybody to follow anybody. You know, if it's just like, you know, even some podcasters. Oh, if you don't like AEW, then why are you watching it? Because I got to cover it. Why do you have to cover it? If I'm a music critic and I don't like country music, you ain't going to see me covering it. If I don't like hip-hop, I'm not listening to it. You ain't going to see it. Why do you have to cover it? Because you use it to make money. Say it. Just say it. I want to make money, and I have to watch it because I want to make money off of it. There's nothing wrong with that. There's things I don't watch. I'm not going to be forced to watch something. If I don't want to watch it, I'll just say, listen, guys, I ain't watching it. You know, that's it. Nobody's forced to watch anything. Nobody's forced to review, unless you advertise yourself that you review everything and watch everything. Now you're putting yourself on a level that, you know, you have to live up to that. Nobody's forced to do anything. If something, listen, if I don't like fish and I'm a food critic, I ain't going to eat fish. I'm not going to, why would I rate, evaluate, give a food rating to something to me that's like biting into smelly pussy flavored rubber? Like, why am I going to eat it? If I don't like it, chances are I'm going to say it sucks. So why would I even eat it? Sorry for being a little explicit. But you get my point. If you don't like something and you watch it anyway, chances are you're not going to like it. So why even watch it? There's so many other things. Because I got to make money. That's the reason why. That is the reason why almost everyone out there that doesn't like something watches it anyway. Because they want to make money off of it. And they do what they do. You know, people admit it. And I give props to the people that do admit it. The people that don't admit it, you know the deal. My favorite stable of all time, NWO. And the Four Horsemen. NWO and the Four Horsemen. My favorite members of the Four Horsemen was Tully, Arn, Ric Flair. Huh. Probably Ole Anderson. Ole Anderson, even though he was never on my radar being a big fan of, he was legit. He was legit. Like, you felt like he's earned that. Don't get me wrong, I liked Malenko, but I didn't think Dean Malenko ever should have been a horseman. Mongo McMichael, I tolerated Mongo, and I enjoyed Mongo, should have never been a horseman. Don't give me Paul Roma. Lex Luger didn't belong. Lex Luger, if you look at the pictures, the funny thing is, if you ever look, this is not a knock on Lex Luger, you'll feel bad for him. And I, when I point it out now, you'll Google it, and I promise you, you'll laugh. There are enough pictures of Lex Luger in the Four Horsemen floating around that when everybody is posing, doing this, if you look at Lex, it almost looks like they're like blocking him from the picture, and he's in the back of the Four Horsemen, and he's like this. It's funny. When you look for the picture, you'll see what I'm talking. There's more than one that it looks like, you know, not every single one, but there is one or two floating around that it looks like, you know, oh, don't tell Lex. We're going to take pictures. Don't tell Lex. You know, and JJ will just pretend JJ is the fourth member, and then Lex will be like, I'm here. Go look at it and see if I'm lying. I remember one where he was very, very sweaty. I don't know if that's one of them, but Right to Censor was a good stable, man. I still remember when Stevie Richards used to pick up the tables and run away with them. Devon, get the tables! And then Steven Richards would pick up the table and run to the back. Everybody wanted to kill him. That was a knock on the parent-teacher council. That was a knock on the parent-teacher council. If you were not around in the Attitude Era, the parent-teacher council were a big mosquito on WWE. They gave WWE a lot of headaches at that time. And they're still around. And, you know, they've given WWE heat, you know, not too long ago as well. Other organizations too, but the PTC was a pain in the ass back in the day. All right, two more minutes. So let's do two more questions and we'll get out of here. Was I ever a fan of Seinfeld? Yeah. Oh, shit, I was thinking about something the other day. Damn it. Oh, man, I had one the other day. Oh. You can't rehearse this. I ate dinner Friday night, and I actually had a Seinfeld moment. I swear on God I didn't Google it. For all I know, every comedian has come up with this. Maybe I'm lucky and almost nobody's ever did. But me and the wife had dinner Friday night. We had an Italian place. We ordered delivery. And I had spare ribs. And I don't like spare ribs all that much, but I'm on keto, so it's limited. But I have barbecued spare ribs with no sauce on it. So they brought the food to the house. And I'm eating a salad with spare ribs, and I look at my wife, and I go, honey, why do they call it spare ribs? It's not spare, but why do they call it spare? I was doing Seinfeld, and I'm like, why do they call it spare ribs? We know it's ribs, and it's from pork, but why do they call it spare? Is that the spare? Do they keep it in the trunk? Is that an extra rib that you need in case you break another? Well, here's a spare rib. I was doing Seinfeld on Friday. I got to Google it to see if any comedian has been like, why do they call it spare ribs? I mean, it's not really a spare. If you break a rib, it's not sitting there waiting to take its place. Why do they call it? I kid you not. I kid you not. Trust me, I ain't like Ian Riccoboni that could come up with instant bullshit. Trust me. I know I can exaggerate at times, but I'm not that quick that I can make up shit like that. Friday. Why do they call it spare ribs? It's not really a spare. Okay. Kevin Milwaukee with a five spot. Thank you, Kevin. Kevin says, DT, do you recall if your favorite wrestler, Terry Funk, ever squared off with his favorite wrestler, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam? Whew. Wow. I don't think so. And I'd be honest with you, it had to have happened. I don't recall it happening in the ECW because in 1997, when they were doing the Mr. Monday Night, and Sabu and RVD were doing a couple of spots on Raw, mainly Rob Van Dam, and they were pretending like they were WWF guys now. And I remember Furnace and LaFon were also in ECW. And I remember one time they had the WWF flag and they draped it over Tommy Dreamer. But I don't recall Terry Funk being part of that. Terry Funk was ECW champion in 1997. He was feuding with Raven. Had a little bit with Sandman, Stevie Richards, who were part of Bailey Legal. But I don't recall Terry Funk going up against RVD. RVD and Sabu were more of a tag team at that time. Terry Funk was not teaming up with anyone. He wasn't even teaming up with Tommy Dreamer, even though they were, you know, Tommy was his protege. It had to have happened on the indies. I would only think at some point, I mean, you'd be surprised who has faced Terry Funk. You know, somebody just wrote that they had no idea that Terry Funk took on CM Punk. Yeah. Terry Funk, listen, there's got to be a promoter somewhere that paid money to see RVD and Terry Funk go at it. There's got to be. I don't know. I'm going to look it up. I'm sure we'll all have the answer after the show. We just go on Google. We'll probably find the answer. I mean, let me put it this way. Well, I will say this. If you remember Born to Be Wired in 1996, when Sabu took on Terry Funk and Terry Funk lost the ECW Heavyweight Championship that night against Sabu, Rob Van Dam came out during that match. I remember he was wearing like mechanics gloves or like an electrician's gloves, carpenter's gloves, and he was cutting the barbed wire trying to help free them up. And then they did something where Tommy Dreamer came out, knocked him out with a cookie sheet or something, and then picked up RVD and brought him to the back. At some point, there's got to be somewhere RVD and Terry Funk. Or RVD and Tommy Dreamer versus Sabu and... Tommy Dreamer and Terry Funk versus Sabu and RVD. No, Terry Funk was not playing Chainsaw Charlie at that time. That was a little bit later on. Trust me. The picture on my Twitter, at Don Tony D, if you look at my Twitter and you see the picture of me posing with Terry Funk and Mick Foley, they were the WWF Tag Team Champions at the time. They were tag team champs for this long, and I just happened to have the privilege of not only meeting them, but hanging out with them for lunch that day. And, you know, that time was way after the ECW stuff, and Barely Legal. That was way after that. I think that was 1998, so. But thank you for that, Kevin. And I want to thank you all as well. Awesome show tonight. Loved it. Great topics as always. This is why Sundays are very much different than any other night of the week. You know, you ride the ship. I mean, you steer it. You tell me what you want to talk about tonight. And we get into topics that never in a million years that you would think that would be talked about. You know, from Gilgo Beach serial killers to spare ribs. You know, I mean, it's pretty wild, the range of topics that we have. So Just one more reminder for those who are interested. Tomorrow night, the 17th of July, right after Raw, I will be online right here giving you a post-Raw review. It's going to be a big night. Obviously, Brock Lesnar is going to accept the challenge of Cody Rhodes. We should see Drew McIntyre and Gunther go a little bit further. Finn Balor versus Seth Rollins 2 or 3, however you want to look at it, should lock up for SummerSlam. It'll be interesting to see what happens with Damian Priest. Tomorrow, I also know that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are wrestling Dominic Mysterio and Finn Balor in a non-title match. So we have to see what happens there. Riddle, we see, and we'll probably see further developments with Giovanni Vinci. And don't forget, that is Tuesday. Kevin Castle returns for a second week in a row. We will talk AEW. We will look at not the usual suspects, but some of the more interesting discussions on whose stock has gone up, gone down, who has skyrocketed, if any, and who has plummeted, if any, over the last 12 months. It's going to be an interesting discussion because I think some of the main eventers definitely need a little bit of discussion because in my opinion, and it's done against him personally, I think Hangman Page is a great example of someone who is, I wouldn't say plummeted, but whose stock has heavily gone down over the last 12 months. So, Pac just made his return for Blood and Guts. I think his stock has significantly gone down. There's others that have gone up. You could see, you know, from Sky Blues to others. I mean, obviously he's not ready yet, but there's some interesting. So we're going to break it down. I hope you could join us. And I'm out of here. So if you enjoyed the show, you know, do what everybody else on YouTube tells you to do or asks you to do. Smash that thumbs up. If you know anyone out there that would like the show, let them know about it. And if you're not a subscriber yet, subscribe. It's free. If you want to become a channel member, you're more than welcome to. And our Patreon, it's been around since the beginning of Patreon. So there's like thousands of hours of shows there that have never been made public. People still ask to this day, are we ever going to make it public? Maybe once Patreon closes ship, then maybe we will. But there's hundreds, I mean, there's probably like, what, 700 episodes between Kevin and I that are there that have never been made public. And we still do two shows a week. And then you got to add free episodes of everything else I do. And then we do the monthly pay-per-view contest. So there's a decent amount going on over there. So if you want to go check it out. But for tonight, no, I did not do it. Anybody knows why I did that just now? You know.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who claim they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody. while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.